Save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial. Use it on a wide range of wood or metal projects for long-lasting results. Choose from over 50 color options available now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
It's almost 10 months since my next guest broke ranks with Fianna Fáil by resigning from the parliamentary party. Back then, he described the party as a one-man show, with most members having little input into decision-making. Well, fast forward to July 2022, and once again, there are rumblings of discontent in the Fianna Fáil backbenches, with a number of TDs demanding that Micheál Martin stand down as party leader when Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach in December. Now, to discuss this and lots about Sligo as well, is Mark McSherry, Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim. Mark, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat, and a very good welcome to you and your team here to Sligo in the North West. It's great to have you here.
Well, we had a good ramble around Sligo yesterday. I got the impression that it's a bustling, prosperous town. Is that just the summer fever, or is it an accurate description of the place 12 months of the year?
And indeed, as a lot of the tourism advocates in this part of the country would say, the weather's always like this here.
You would say that.
You saw it as our best yesterday, and certainly there's a lot going on in the summer season.
Now, let's go back to your departure from the parliamentary party. Remind us of why that was so.
Yeah, it was on the 15th of September last year. Ultimately, it came down to integrity and the fact that, as you said, it was a one-man show. It was around the Zapone Gate issue, and it came to a motion of confidence in Minister Coveney around that issue. And it was during our think-in, if you remember, it was in Cavan, and Micheál Martin unilaterally decided that the entire party would be supporting that without any discussion. I felt that was a bridge too far. I looked for a meeting of the parliamentary to discuss it. To this day, that has never been replied to, and I then resigned the whip the following Wednesday.
Now, Micheál Martin, to the outsider, certainly does not come across as a dictatorial sort of man.
No, he hides it very well indeed. But unfortunately, as somebody who's been on his front bench, as somebody who knows him for 32 years, and as somebody who was absolutely committed to his elevation to Taoiseach and indeed voted for him for that role, sadly, it is a one-man show. Fianna Fáil parliamentary policy is determined by focus groups under his control through Fianna Fáil headquarters, and not, unfortunately, from the immense talent that would have been the ranks of the Fianna Fáil backbenchers.
I take it, therefore, you are not surprised at the ad hoc meeting that took place where a lot of backbenchers and Fianna Fáil senators attended.
Not at all. But ultimately, I think for anything to happen, you need one of the would-be next leaders or successors to put their hand up and say, yes, I am interested in the leadership. Yes, I intend to put the question, as it were, come next December, because that is what the vast majority want. Without that as a catalyst, Micheál Martin may well continue.
He who wields the dagger rarely wears the crown. Yeah. So, you know, someone who might have ambitions in that regard to replace Micheál Martin is hardly likely to show their hand at this point.
Well, I think in the heady days of 82 seats in the Haughies and Lynches and Aherns, that may well have been the case. But nowadays, it's about the survival of Fianna Fáil. And I think it's going to take a leader to step up, to become that catalyst, to say, I want to be the alternative come December. And I think that the first to do that will find people rally around them pretty quick.
Now, Micheál Martin has indicated that he wishes to continue, that when the swap happens and Leo Varadkar becomes Taoiseach and Fianna Fáil have the role of Tánaiste, that he wishes to pursue that role. But I suspect he would say that anyway, no matter what his private intention is. I mean, Joe Biden is indicating, you know, he will be running in 2024, but the smart money says Joe Biden will not. Somebody else will run on behalf of the Democratic Party. Might not be the same with Micheál Martin. He's young yet. There are roles in Europe. There are other things he might do. Becoming Tánaiste to Leo Varadkar might not be one of the things that he most wishes for.
Well, look, it's one of the things that's a problem with Irish politics, in my view at the moment. We judge people on their position. And that becomes the criteria for success or not. You know, if you get there, you're a success. If you don't, you're not a success. For me, it's about what you do when you get there. And I think that all of us, the media, ourselves in politics, need to look at that focus. What are you doing while you're there? Is it about looking good on the world stage? For me, that's not enough. It's about tangible change, a change that people yearn for now. And I think Fianna Fáil can be part of that change once they make the necessary move. And sadly, that's required.
Now, if you go back in history after the crash and Fianna Fáil bearing the brunt, really, for the crash, and we saw how the Taoiseach had to resign. Micheál Martin being a survivor, he did resign early and therefore became a survivor of that cabinet to kind of rebuild Fianna Fáil. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was an argument that said Fianna Fáil might have been utterly finished if Micheál Martin had not stepped in.
Look, that's absolutely true. If he hadn't, somebody else would have, is what I would say. And, I would love to say, and I know him, as I said, a long time, I have great respect for the man. Is there a Micheál Martin factor in the way there was a Charlie or a Bertie factor? No, there is not. He's a very fine and very decent man, but unfortunately, his view of leadership does not involve shared ownership. It doesn't involve embracing the talent that are the sum of the parts within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party. And ultimately, I'd like to see that dealt with. But for it to be dealt with, someone is going to have to step forward.
Now, when you quoted two people there, you quoted Bertie Ahern and you quoted Charlie Haughey. I wouldn't have put Charlie Haughey as a man who looked to the back benches to help him with his decision making. I mean, if ever there was an autocrat in the party, it was Charlie.
Yeah, that's the reputation that he has. But as you know, I'm very close to somebody who would have served with that man, and I can tell you he was a listener. He was somebody who had perhaps a kitchen cabinet, but it was drawn from within. But that is not the case with Micheál Martin.
So you're saying that the people around Charlie Haughey were all from Fianna Fáil, seed and breed and generation, be they TDs or whatever, but would
indeed
have been
senators. I mean, I know on Northern Ireland and other issues, the late Senator Bernard McGlinchey was somebody that Charlie would have confided in. There were quite a number. He was a listener, and yes, he stuck to his guns once a decision was made, certainly. But the reputation as a dictator was unfounded.
Although that famous phrase applied to him at the beginning of the election, una duce, una voce.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, my view on Micheál Martin, having served with him and in his front bench, is that description would apply much more so than to his leadership. Than any, this is the third leader that I've served, because it is his way or no way at all.
So the mild manner disguises something Mussolini-like? Because that's
I know he certainly wouldn't like such analogies, so I won't make it. I can only speak to my own experiences. Let's look at a few very big decisions that involved Fianna Fáil. One was confidence and supply, another was extension to confidence and supply, another was the link with the SDLP in the north. They were all decisions that the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party and front bench heard on the airwaves or read in the paper. To my knowledge, there hasn't been a discussion within the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party, and granted I'm out of it for the last 10 months, about membership of NATO, for example. But seeing the Taoiseach attend a meeting of NATO in Spain some weeks ago would lead you to believe that we had a discussion on that and had a position on it. The Ukraine, who I'm certainly not against joining the European Union, was that a discussion in the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party? Absolutely not.
Bertie Ahern, you referenced as well, it's interesting the British papers, the state papers have been released, and some of the stuff about Bertie Ahern is quite interesting. A pragmatic man, a pragmatic politician, but one who could be ruthless. that ring a bell?
Well, yeah, but look, you know, all leaders have to take decisions and it's their prerogative to lead. But in any of the leaders I served or those I know about in the past, none of it have assumed the rest of the parliamentary party to be little more than ticket sellers for the annual draw. And sadly, that is the position at the moment.
Now, the party's fate in the polls, were there to be a general election tomorrow, there would be a further decimation of seats. Isn't that a proper analysis?
Yeah, if the polls are true. Certainly, it would seem that Sinn Féin are to be significant winners next time out if the transfers come. And obviously, we don't, in our opinion, polls assess transfers. In this part of the country, we're probably a little bit higher than we would be in parts of Dublin. But look, it's been consistent now. You know, 15 to 20%, a little lower in some other polls. So certainly we're not looking at a pleasant day if those polls bear out reality.
So do you believe that a new leader would be a panacea? And you can name names if you wish, but what kind of leader would be essential to better Fianna Fáil's fortunes?
I think Fianna Fáil did a huge amount for this country since the foundation of the state, but its success was born out of a model based on shared ownership, whereby it was about the sum of the parts and policy emanated from the ground up. We've come very far away from that model. So a new leader for me would have to begin and embrace the concept that made us great before, which is that of shared ownership, listening to the people and developing policy from the ground up. We were based on being supported by people in the terraces, small business and small farmers, three sets of people that we have abandoned. They need to be re-embraced. And as I say, the policy must emanate from the people rather than the top down.
What sort of leader does Fianna Fáil need? Is it an urban leader? Is it someone from the hinterland? You know, an Éamon Ócaoimh figure who has, of course, a direct link genetically to the founder of the Fianna Fáil party, Éamon de Valera?
Yeah, no, it's certainly... nothing against Éamon Ócaoimh. My personal view is, with a party in the position Fianna Fáil is in, with some 53 seats in the greater Dublin area, I think that the leader must come from Dublin. So that brings the choice to Jim O'Callaghan and to Dara O'Brien, and perhaps as a dark horse, but he might decide that it's for later in his career, Jack Chambers. I'd say that the leader is likely to come from that. If you were to emanate further out from Dublin from that, then Barry Cowan in the Midlands. But certainly it would have to be in the greater Dublin area, in my view.
And that's simply because of the population bias and the number of seats that have to be won or lost
absolutely.
In that area.
Absolutely.
What do you think is going to happen next? I mean, Micheál Martin has brushed off what has happened, this meeting that happened with backbenchers, TDs and senators, as, you know, why not? Why shouldn't they have conversations?
Yeah, I mean, as he would. I mean, if I were Micheál Martin's position, you know, I don't know that I'd be saying any different about that issue and about his intention to stay on and so on. All leaders would, as you said yourself, about Joe Biden.
I mean, he'd be a lame duck if he was to say, I'm gone now. The lobbying and the
absolute
quest for support would be already underway.
Look, it's no secret this time last year I was involved in a situation where we were looking to the potential of a new leader. The person in question wasn't anxious to make that move at that time. As you say, nobody wants to be involved in a hostile takeover. They want to wait it fall into their lap. But, you know, things have changed since then. There was an expectation that he would be prepared to move on at the end of the year. There's a lot expecting that. I think the meeting of last week was more to discuss policy and look, where are we going direction, rather than particularly focused on the leadership. So, but if I think if he doesn't indicate, you know, close to the time, look, I am planning to hang up my leadership boots, I think then we'll begin to see something happen. But what's critical to that, as I said at the outset, is one of the would-be next leaders are going to have to make a clear indication, I want it, and make a move, and then I think the support will rally around it.
Okay, now, if you look at the two that you mentioned as perhaps the front-runners in the Dublin area, if you look at Jim O'Callaghan, people might say a bit too posh maybe to be leader of Fianna Fáil, you know, very patrician in his attitude, down in the law library in Dublin, Bay South constituency, well-heeled constituency, the kind of constituency that elects an intellectual like Ivana Bacik to the Labour Party. They got a seat there. Is that the right base for a Fianna Fáil leader? On the other hand, you've got Dara O'Brien from North County Dublin and Housing Minister. Is a Housing Minister going to be effective in fighting an election for Fianna Fáil? You know, an ex-Housing Minister with all of the reputational damage that can attach to any housing minister, no matter what party they belong to.
I think there's diversity in every constituency in Ireland now. There are affluent areas, there are less affluent areas, and indeed Dublin South or the Dublin North constituency that, Dara is in, you know, have all of that diversity as well. So I don't think it's going to come down to that. I think it'll more so come down to the issues that I said earlier. Who's prepared to embrace shared ownership and use the talent at their disposal?
Now, in Britain, the Labour Party has said that in the last election, where Boris Johnson got a thumping majority for the Tories, that Labour had lent the Conservatives their vote, the red wall that collapsed and became something of a blue tide for the Tory party. You'd like to believe that many of your votes for Fianna Fáil have been lent to Sinn Féin, but do you really believe they'll come back?
Look, I think they have to be earned back. I do feel that in the last 10 days of the last general election campaign, the handling of the campaign by Micheál Martin and both Leo Varadkar, there was an element of arrogance that snuck in, which I believe did hand Sinn Féin vote hundreds of thousands of votes that mid-campaign, or certainly at the beginning of it, were not headed in that direction. So they're there to play for, but no, I think Fianna Fáil will have to earn every vote, but they can. They can.
The question, though, of the support for Sinn Féin, you wonder to what extent it is about their policies. I mean, if you go north, and that's the best thing you can do if you want to see how Sinn Féin would perform in government. And when I challenged Mary Lou MacDonald at the time of the last election about their poor performance in the north, she kind of said, well, Westminster control everything, so you can't judge us on that. People who are disaffected from government will vote for the opposition, whatever colour it might be, whether it's the green of Sinn Féin or the red of the Labour Party.
They may. I mean, I think I agree with you on Sinn Féin. If you look to the south, if you look to the north, rather, the leadership they provide there with other parties is decidedly centrist, whereas the positioning down here is decidedly left. Although, over the course of the last year, we've watched them sneak a little bit into the centre on certain issues. And I think the closer we get to an election, I think we'll see more of that.
Are you sanguine then that Fianna Fáil can make a recovery? Because there are those who are suggesting that Sinn Féin has effectively stolen Fianna Fáil's clothes. You know, kind of where Fine Gael stand, they're to the right of the centre. You know where the Labour Party stand, they're certainly significantly to the left of the centre. Sinn Féin, you know, as you said, hard to pin down exactly where they'd be in that particular spectrum, but Roisin Shortall and her Social Democrats, we know where they stand. What does Fianna Fáil stand for?
Well, I think Micheál Martin's Fianna Fáil stands with Fine Gael, and really I think Fianna Fáil and government has been an extension of Fine Gael policy rather than homegrown indigenous Fianna Fáil policy. And I think I wouldn't be sanguine. I'd be confident of a Fianna Fáil recovery with the correct leadership, a shared ownership model, and one that allows policy develop from the bottom up. That's what allowed it deliver very successfully for the Irish people in the past, and if re-embraced, can do so again.
Now, one of the texters says, will it dawn on Fianna Fáil backbenchers that transfers from the other government parties represent the best chance of votes if the government goes full term and ramps up on delivery of expectations, then they will do well. So if, you know, you have your backbenchers who are muttering about Fine Gael and you're overtly talking about Fine Gael as being perhaps an unsuited partner, and you alienate the Fine Gael voters from whom you expect preferences, you may be dashing the chances of the party.
Yeah, no. I mean,
do you hang together or do you hang separately?
Definitely separately. Definitely separately.
So you'd rather go down in flames as an independent Fianna Fáil party standing for what it stands for and perhaps rebuild, hoping that Sinn Féin make a mess of things?
Fianna Fáil's best days were when they embraced their original positioning of centre-left, and listening to the people and allowing policy to develop based on the needs of people. We've come away from that, It became certainly through confidence and supply, mission, get Micheál Martin into the Taoiseach's office, and on our route to that, we ceded republicanism, we ceded our origins, and they're there to be recovered, but it'll require a new leader.
One final text or two. Chasing urban votes is a waste of time. These votes belong to Sinn Féin. Rural voters want to vote Fianna Fáil, but the party has abandoned them, says one. And another one, hypocrisy from Mark. He voted confidence in the government last week. That's from Brian in Sligo. What do you say to that? Because that's what you did.
I voted confidence, but there was a price for that, Pat, and it was relevant to cardiology services here. And rather than going into the detail of it, which we had last week, check with cardiologist Dr. Donald Murray as to the commitments that were provided to me in return for that vote. So I make no apologies for that.
On that note, Mark McSharry, independent TD for Sligo Leitrim, former member of the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party, and I suspect, Mark, that your heart still lies there.
It certainly is. We'll see what the future holds.
Mark McSharry, thank you very much joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Save big money on all lawn care products at Menards. Revolutionize your landscaping experience with our dig-free edging. A hassle-free solution that transforms your outdoor space effortlessly. Our innovative edging system is designed for easy setup without disrupting your lawn. Save today on all Mastermark dig-free edging at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.